Be seated. This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I encourage you to keep your worship bulletin handy. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes and what the Lord will ultimately lay on your hearts this morning. I trust that the Lord will give you something that He desires for you to take home with you this week to apply to your relationships and the places God will ultimately guide you through the work of the Holy Spirit this week. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you. And just a quick note of clarification, it's not supposed to read, "You can't stop the unstoppable Reverend Seth Cordy." I'm very much stoppable. Just talk to me after pollen season is in full blown. It's actually supposed to read, "You can't stop the unstoppable." Anyway, you knew that already. This morning, let me ask you this. What do you see? As you look at the screens up front and you take a look at that head-racking, mind-blowing, headache-inducing image, what do you see? Back in the 90s, these were very popular. Magic Eye came out with some of these, but the scientific name is autostereogram, which is a fancy way of saying if you look at this too long, your eyes will do this, and you will start walking into walls because your head hurts. How many of you, by a show of hands, saw something beneath the pattern, beneath the two-dimensional layer that's set before you? How many of you saw the three-dimensional behind the two-dimensional? Show of hands. Well, if you said you saw a cat, you're wrong. It's actually a shark. Sorry. Better go home and practice. If you were to ask the creator of some of these exercises, we'll say, in visual health, they'd say the key is to take a moment to look at it and to let your eyes relax, to not get distracted by what's on the surface level, but to take a moment to pause and to take a step back and to see what's actually there beyond the visual static. I share that with you this morning to help us get ready for what we'll hear once again from God's Word and what we'll see as we take a look at our sermon video this morning, because in a lot of ways, this is the question that's set before the people that were involved with the rise of the early church, the early apostles, the disciples, but also the religious leaders, the religious elite of the day, and the people who are wondering what exactly is going on here. The question is this: what do you see? When you see this group of men, when you see the early church, what do you see? This time, what I'd like to do is invite you to turn your attention to the screen for today's introductory sermon video, and I'd like to ask you once again, what do you see? Let's take a look.
Our nation is poisoned. Turn away from hate. Turn away from violence. Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen.
Open your hearts. Hear our message of hope and love for all people.
Come.
Jesus is the good shepherd.
People would not act this way if they knew the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is coming to Jerusalem. He is
him,
the resurrection.
Him. Take them.
And the life!
I suppose it's thankless to ask, but I'd very much like to know how you escaped yourself. Then I can only assume that you have some experience of lockpicking. A skill which most reasonable people would associate with criminality. Very well, you are accused of continuing to teach the name of a false prophet. You defy the temple and conspire to lead the lost souls of this city astray. What have you to say to this?
Answer me!
Out of respect for the learned elders of the Sanhedrin, we will not seek to defend our beliefs.
We only know them to be true. There can be no defense or clarification
or mitigation of the truth. It simply is.
And what is the truth?
That God raised Jesus from the dead to sit at his right hand as Prince and Savior. And it was his spirit that freed us from your chains.
You are aware that saying such things condemns you as false prophets according to the law. There is only one outcome. You are to be put to death by stones.
So few words spoken.
For so many lives to be clipped.
Rabbi Gamaliel, do you find fault in our application of the law?
No, probably not. But as president of the Sanhedrin, I'm obligated to poke a finger into matters that pique my interest.
Of course, but what more is there to say? They've been found guilty.
Yes, it's so very upsetting. But I wonder, do you not recall the enthusiasms of your own youth and being carried away by them?
Your wisdom is highly valued and recognized by all, but...
But I should sit down now, should I? No, I cannot. My conscience pricks at me for us both. Let these men alone. They are not dangerous. If what they claim is false, then nothing will come of it. And in time, they will simply fade away. But if it is true and you destroy them, you will find yourselves in opposition to God.
Having considered the wisdom of Gamaliel, it is agreed that the sentence shall be commuted. But you're to be taken to a public place and flogged so that everyone may know your guilt.
What do you see? St. Luke records for us in chapter 5 of Acts the following, verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Once again, the question can be asked based on this situation, based on the situation we've seen painted for us in our first reading this morning and also depicted for us in our sermon video this morning. The question, once again, has to be asked, what do you see? Maybe taking a step back this morning, maybe it depends on who you're asking, right? I mean, would that be a fair statement? It depends on who you're asking. For example, if you're asking the people we just heard about in Acts chapter 5 that we just read a second ago, the people who are seeing the miraculous, seeing the extraordinary, seeing a son or a daughter, a father, a mother, a family member, a friend healed, or seeing a demon cast out. If you're asking those folks, then this is probably what they're going to share with you. I see hope. In a situation that was dark and ugly and seemed to be going nowhere, I see hope. I see the promise of something greater. I see change for the better. I see a solution. I see the finger and the hand of God all over this. I see something that gives me freedom from what I'm struggling with. And I see a certain fearlessness and boldness in these men that when they're pushed, they don't back down. There's something going on here. Once again, brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you see? If we were to ask that question to the Sanhedrin, the religious elite of the day, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Sadducees, and so forth, what do you think their answer would be? Let's take a look once again at Acts 5, pick it up at verse 17. Then the high priest and all of his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. Shocking, I know. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. Well, we heard there was the great escape, right? A little bit later, verse 27, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. High priest, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Whose blood? You tell me, whose blood? Okay, good, I'm glad you're with me yet. Hang on. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. You're a Pharisee, you're a Sadducee, you're a scribe, you're a teacher of the law, you're seeing the apostles, Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the crew preach in the name of Jesus. You've just asked them to stop it. You've just tried to shut them down, and now they're before you once again, and they're unstoppable. And how do you feel? What do you see? You see change. You see change to your way of life. You see change to your religion. You see change to your hypocrisy. You see change to your legalism, and it can't be stopped. You see another problem to fix, like so many before, revolts and revolutions and people trying to be their own political leader to follow. One more problem to fix, to shut down. You see a power struggle. The apostles or the Sanhedrin, Peter or Caiaphas. You see a lot of nerve, a lot of boasting, a lot of nuisance. Something you need to shut down. What do you see? We saw this in our video and we hear this from Acts chapter 5. One person amidst the religious elite dares to stand forward and throw his voice into the arena to share what he sees. And the question that's posed before everybody at that point in time is this. As we look at this situation, as we hear about these people preach in the name of Jesus and do things we just can't explain, are we looking at something that's stoppable? Or do we find ourselves witness to the unstoppable? Gamaliel, once again, teases this out for us. Verse 38 to 39, he says, therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. You see, it seems that the religious institution of the day, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Sadducees, they're slow to learn what's going on. What they thought was stoppable by throwing on a cross and throwing in a tomb and sealing it shut, they have quickly discovered it is the unstoppable. The unstoppable of grace and mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ for you and for me, for the apostles, Peter and John, for the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the scribes, for Caiaphas, for the people who see nothing but static on the surface level but are totally missing the work of God behind the scenes. Let me just pause and ask and do a pulse check for us this morning. In the midst of daily life, friends, what do you see? What do you see when you go to work in the morning, when you go tomorrow? What do you see when you go back to your neighborhoods, when you take a walk, when you go outside, when you see your neighbors, when you hear what they're saying? What do you see when you go out into the neighborhood, into the community, and you go to the store and you buy your stuff, or you go to the Starbucks and you get your coffee, and you see things on people's faces? You see it in their body language. You see it on the trails when you go for a walk. What do you see? What do you see amidst the surface level, audio static, and visual static of day-to-day life and what looks like just the plain and ordinary? What do you see? Do you see a husband, father, mother, wife driving around at night and think nothing more? All the while missing the fact that maybe this is someone who's just lost their job and they just don't know how to go back home and break it to their family. So they drive around during the time when they should be at work and they come home. What do you see? Do you see a classmate at school that seems to be fine on the surface level, but deep down is struggling with bullying, stress, anxieties, fears, worries, doubts, depressions, loneliness, identity? What do you see? What do you see when you encounter a family in your neighborhood? Someone that looks great on the outside, but deep down, well, maybe there's something else. What do you see? What do you see when you encounter that coworker at work who just seems to be a little bit off, doesn't have as much pep in their step as they had maybe a week ago or a month ago or a day ago? Do you see just another person, or do you see somebody, do you see a situation where God is inviting you through the work of the Holy Spirit to step in and to maybe just ask for a moment, how are you? What can I pray about for you? Do you see somebody who's struggling with bills and wonder no more? Or does the Holy Spirit tug on your heart to ask the question, how can I help you? You see, once again, when you see those situations in your life, in your area of life this week or this past week or maybe this morning, what do you see? Do you see static? Do you see visual static? Do you hear audio static? Is that all you see and hear? Or do you hear something more? Do you see and hear an opportunity for the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ to be in that situation, in that moment, that relationship, that conversation, that phone call, that email, that text, that classroom setting? Do you see a place where God is inviting the people of Praise Lutheran Church to share the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? I pray that you do. I pray that I do. I pray that we do. I pray that we take time this week to look at things not as a surface level, but in a way that looks at things through the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe, just maybe, give someone else a chance to see these things. The same things that the people saw in the lives of those early Christ followers, like hope. Despite what's going on, hope. Fearlessness. And maybe, just maybe, the very hand of God. Let's pray.